You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. This is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. Currently, you've probably heard me on a show called Screen Heroes, where we discuss movies and TV shows about superheroes, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. Well, I love fantasy so much, I am starting a brand new podcast about fantasy television series. We are going to review these series in a bit more detail than what Screen Heroes usually does. We'll discuss multiple episodes for a whole continuous arc and then move on to another series. Spellbound will review shows, new shows like The Witcher, Good Omens, Carnival Row, and Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We're also going to look back at previous shows such as American Gods and Avatar: The Last Airbender, old miniseries from the 90s like Leprechauns and the 10th Kingdom, and we're going to do a movie here and there, maybe even a little bit of fantasy upcoming news, who knows. You'll be able to follow Spellbound at SpellboundCast on Twitter for the latest fantasy news about the show, about the upcoming shows that we'll be discussing. You can also listen to us Fridays, coming in September.
Good morning, friends. You're tuned into episode 102 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, how you doing?
I'm good, Zug Zug.
What?
Oh, sorry. I got the WoW blood in me.
Oh, God, you fucking nerd.
That's right. All right,
I guess we're just rolling right into that. You've been playing a lot of WoW Classic.
I've been playing a lot of WoW Classic.
You told me it was too much WoW Classic.
I've been playing too much WoW Classic. That's absolutely the truth. I told you I don't have enough time for that game. The problem is I do have time for the game. I just don't have time for the game and anything else
right.
in my life.
Right.
So I'm struggling right now.
Yeah.
I don't have to get into it, but I've been playing a lot. So really enjoying that game. You'd be happy to know that while our Casey Guild was getting enough people together to be able to form an actual mm-hmm. guild in game, I joined a casual guild called the Tunnel Snakes.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was great.
Excellent.
So about every 20 minutes or so, somebody would just yell Tunnel Snakes rule in chat.
Great. Man, I mean, you should with that kind of a name.
It was great. It was super cool. Everybody in there was really friendly. And, you know, it's just a nice way to dip your toe back into the game. Everybody's mm-hmm. being super cool with each other.
That's kind of what I've seen online. So I've never actually played World of Warcraft at all. I think I've always had this kind of romanticized idea of what everybody really just kind of holds it up on a pedestal to be, which seems to be this, like, for all its flaws and everything. But I think everybody is going into this wanting everybody to have those kind of same experiences again. So I'm just seeing those screenshots of people, like, actually lining up to kill like a quest enemy, or like, hey, this person can only talk to one person at one time, so we can like make this orderly line. Like, it was kind of a cool thing. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it's cool that like that stuff you're talking about, the line stuff, that was for like the first several days for sure. Yeah. Because those servers were full. I mean, all across the board, man, there were
a lot
of servers.
Yeah.
So, you know, you start in the starting area and there are just a million people there.
Mm.
So what they've done is there's something called layering. It took several people explaining this to me to understand how it works. But basically, when you make a character, you pick a server, and you and whoever else are on that server are stuck there unless you pay to transfer, which probably later they will offer because money is cool.
Sure.
They probably want some. But you're stuck on this server, and the server has a population limit. Well, everyone made... You know, you could reserve names ahead of time if you wanted to on your server. But what matters is you get onto this server, everyone's stuck there, and eventually, you know, a few weeks in, like right about now, you're going to have a lot of people fall off the game, either entirely or they're just not going to binge it. I mean, people took off vacation days to play this.
Totally.
I know a bunch of people mm-hmm. who did that. And that's something special. Well, you can't sustain that. So after about 3 weeks,
sure,
population starts to go down. Right.
People eventually do have to go back to work.
Right. So what you don't want is for the population in your server to get too low that you can't find groups for anything. You can't,
right.
I mean, if there isn't a high population, you just can't do anything. So to make a long story short, the Kansas City Guild, like the whole community, we were trying to get on one server, but there was a big miscommunication and a bunch of stuff went down. But basically what happened was the server queue on the server that we picked was way too long, and it took 3 weeks to go away. Well, a lot of people like me didn't want to wait 3 weeks to play the game.
Sure.
So
yeah,
a bunch of my high school friends, we all went and made characters on a separate, you know, medium to high population server, and a bunch of other people did the same thing. Well, once you've spent a dozen hours into your character, you don't want to make a new one.
Totally.
So
yeah,
everybody's pretty like spread to the winds now. We still got a decent number of people on ours and then on the main one we originally picked. But more or less, we're all just talking on Discord and hanging out and stuff, which is cool. It'd be great to be able to play together. But the way Blizzard has tackled this population issue is this thing called layering. So what you'll do is, let's say you're in the bank in the middle of one of the capital cities. You're going to look around you and you're going to see 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in actuality, there are probably 100 people in that bank right now. But there are a bunch of servers basically stacked on top of each other. So my server is Old Blanchy. That server is, you know, has a decent number of people, but it's always populated because when more players log into the game creates these layers, right? These additional pockets where people can play the game and see each other. So like if you and I were in the main city running around, we might not appear to each other, but if we invite each other to the same party, then we'll appear.
Interesting.
So what it means is that no matter how many people total are on the server, there are always enough people around you. Like if you hop in chat, you can see everybody in chat.
Mm-hmm.
But physically, you're not like competing with each other for like quest mobs or, you know, my computer would not be able to handle it if there were a million people showing up in the main city. It just wouldn't be able to take it. So that's their way of keeping the population good. So you're, you know, if you run out into an area where a lot of people are questing, it can be hard because if you're all fighting for the same stuff, but the respawn rates for a bunch of enemies are all turned way, 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 way up, almost to impossible levels sometimes.
Yeah.
There, I was out in just a regular area. Like, it's definitely an area that you want to kind of group up for, even in the original vanilla classic. But now you'll be fighting enemies, and enemies will spawn underneath you before you've even finished fighting. And
that's so weird.
Yeah, so they'll spawn faster depending on how many people are in the area. But also, so that's cool. So that's how layering works. The person who hit level 60 first in the world used layering to basically cheat the system, to just sit in an area with a ton of enemies, and every time they would wipe, you know, they would kill everything, they'd have somebody invite them to a party, which put them on a different layer with all respawned.
That's really
mobs.
Smart.
It is really
that
smart.
That is really smart. Also,
but
fuck,
it's cheap.
Man.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Just like, oh man. But whatever. I mean, it doesn't really matter to me. But I wish that it, you know, I wish that wasn't cheesed.
So, do you think that the layering thing, at least to me, being a WoW outsider, a WoWtsider, if you will, is this something that you think like you feel like this is just in place to handle like the just incredible amount of demand that they're having on their servers for right now? Like, is this something that you can see going away eventually as people inevitably just kind of fall off of it?
There are a lot of people who know a lot more about this than I do.
Okay, fair enough.
This, for all I know, maybe this is something that happens in other games as well,
okay,
but
cool.
I just got a PC.
The last MMO that I spent a ton of time with was like fucking RuneScape, so.
right. And yeah, I know there wasn't layering back then,
because
this was a new
term
to me
that
I had to have explained.
Yeah, I've never
heard
of that either.
Why is everything respawning so fast?
I just killed you 3 seconds ago.
It's
what
crazy.
Are you doing?
Yeah, so that stuff's interesting. As a Windsider myself, I can tell you that from my like layman's perspective, they are like layering will stick around as long as there are high population servers because it reduces the stress on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
It allows me to move around the world in a way that competition doesn't stifle me. But then probably most importantly is the population thing. So they want to keep as few total servers, like realms. They want to keep as few realms as possible because the more realms they have, the more spread out the player base is going to be. So you want to keep as many people in as few servers as possible. They were very transparent with that decision before it actually came out. They were like, right as it came out, because the queue times were like, you'd wait like 3 or 4 hours to log on to that one server.
Mm-hmm.
But we made new ones on one where you could just play instantly. So yeah, we just did that.
Sure.
But they were like, yeah, we know that the wait times are crazy. We're offering free transfers to other servers, but we really don't, you know, we're really not in a big hurry to make new servers because it's going to cause problems down the road. And I think that was a good decision.
Yeah, I think so too. Because I think going back to what my MMO knowledge with RuneScape, you know, like I think that game has just stuck around as well as it, or as long as it has, or at least the like quote old school version, which is kind of going for sort of the same, I don't want to say the same market, but like that same kind of appeal. Like when people think of RuneScape, they don't think of what it is now, modern day RuneScape. They think of quote 2007 Scape or whatever.
Right.
And I think that if it is just like this cool snapshot of vanilla WoW, I think eventually people are going to fall off on it, and adding more servers will just, you'll eventually have to get into like, hey, nobody's on this server except for like 10 people, and we're just gonna have to shut it down, and those 10 people are gonna be really fucking bummed about it, you know. So I know that old school RuneScape does this thing where I think it's members, which is like their paid subscription, because you can play for free also.
Mm. I remember.
Oh, yeah. And you have to have like a certain like combined total level. I think it's like 500 plus or something like that. But if the developers want to make any sort of change to it, it has to pass that voting body with like a 3/4 vote, which I think is a really cool thing. And they've like added new content that they're still actively developing new content for quote old school RuneScape. Like it's right. A really neat thing. And it's keeping a lot of people there. Like it's really neat. I like that a lot. I keep saying that I want to go back to play a little bit more RuneScape, but I know I just don't have the time, and the little bit that I have gone back over the past couple of years, it's just really hard to make myself stick with it when there's just other things out there,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The game is slow. It's very, very slow.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Everything is so slow, and everyone's poor all the time. When the game first came out, man, until like a couple days ago, I couldn't even afford all my abilities all the time. Like, I'd be like, oh man, I'm catching up. I got money now. And then I'd realize, oh, I have to go train my character. I've got new abilities. And then I wouldn't even be able to buy all the abilities, you know, let alone like this other stuff that I'd been planning on. I'm like, well, there go all my hopes and dreams.
Right.
I'm poor.
Yep.
And everybody's in the same boat. It's interesting that you've got such a huge population of people who've played before. So everybody knows what's up. So, you know, there's like this artificial level to some of the stuff where like in the auction house, there's inflation on, you know, on buying and selling items because they don't have use now, but there are going to be patches soon that are going to make certain things relevant. One thing I didn't realize before I started playing was that the battlegrounds, like the, you know, capture the flag and capture the bases PvP stuff, is not in the game right now. And it's not going to be in the game for like a few months, which is way too long.
Interesting.
Dude,
yeah.
I was looking forward to those so much.
Did those ship like on quote like day one vanilla WoW, or were those like eventually just kind of, hey, we've got these cool things we're patching in? Or...
I have no idea.
Great.
But I know there are different phases they're doing stuff in. So it's either phase two or phase three that PvP is coming in. I don't know. I didn't know any of this stuff until after I had already started playing. Yeah, I really just want a PvP, but I'm going to be high level before it even drops. And, like, I was really looking forward to, you know, the battlegrounds go in brackets of, like, 10 levels at a time all the way up to 60, which is the max. And I was really looking forward to experiencing each level, because the way people play and the abilities people have are totally different.
Totally.
I'm kind of bummed out that that's not in there right now.
Yeah.
I was really excited.
That is a weird kind of choice, but I mean, I guess if you have to cut something, I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't even know why they have to cut it. I don't know. The answers are probably on the internet. I'm just a dude trying to play.
Sure, totally understand
that. And anytime something comes up, I just like ask general chat. I'm like, yo, it's what's like, happening?
What the fuck? Like, y'all see this shit?
Right.
Like, what's up? And I'm sure general chat is very happy and smart and intelligent to respond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
Something like that. Baron's chat is a notorious part of World of Warcraft.
So I know nothing about World of Warcraft except that I know what Baron's chat is, because I feel like that just kind of exploded, like just almost like the concept of a Baron's chat. I've had it described to me as like the 4chan board of like World of Warcraft, and it just kind of became bigger than the game itself for a little while. It's wild.
It's the shit posting zone where everybody,
honestly, like. I'm kind of interested to see how that looks like modern day.
So it used to be Chuck Norris jokes all day, right?
Okay.
Now they're Reeves jokes.
Oh, okay. I take that back. That sounds that sounds just obnoxious.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Oh, man. I love shit posting, but you got to be smart about it. Like, I feel like there's an art to shit posting, you know?
I mean, it's made me laugh a few times. The stuff I've seen in there is pretty funny.
I guess that's true of a lot of things. Like, you can see some... Just scrolling through like Twitter or Facebook, you can see some pretty garbage memes, but there's always going to be one that's like, this
it hits you just right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
People are really good at naming names. Like, the density of good names is very high.
I bet. Yeah.
Because people were ready out of the gates with all these puns and stuff. One of my friends is named Eat Chicken. He's a Tauren, which is like the bull character, right? Mm-hmm. He's like a cow. So he's like, oh, I eat chicken Chick-fil-A, ha ha.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And yesterday I saw someone just like his character named Eat Mo Chicken. And I'm like,
great.
I wonder how many Eat Chickens there are out there. Like, people are ready for this.
Man, I feel like you don't see clever screen names as much anymore.
They're all taken.
Like, and I'm not just talking about like WoW, but like just in general. I feel like whenever, I know we're going on a pretty big tangent here, but whenever I was playing like Halo 3 on 360 or... Mm-hmm. Like, around the time of, like, the Halo 3 to, like, Modern Warfare 2 era, like, that kind of point in time, I was just running into names. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant.
Right.
And, man, and you don't really see that much anymore.
So, I think this is for a few reasons. I've thought about this. First of all, with, like, gamer tags, if you're on Xbox and you don't care about nothing, it will generate a name for you.
That's true.
And
that's
I know
true.
People who've just accepted those. It'll be like... Laughable Chicken, or like strong.
There's a
feather. I mean, just two words.
A friend of mine's brother's was Sad Bowl. Like, sure, all right, thanks Xbox, great.
Right.
But you don't want to pay $10 to like change it, you know? Because it's like it's fine. It's just inoffensive. Whatever. If you don't care, then that's totally fine.
So you've got that, but that alone is not a big thing. What I think that does, though, is it just muddies the waters where you have a bunch of names that aren't good. So then people aren't really striving to get good names because they don't care. Like the amount of importance people place on like clever names, I think, has deteriorated. Yeah. Also, there are a lot more kids these days playing than before. So like WoW Classic is predominantly adults. Almost entirely.
I can imagine. Probably, I would say people our age, maybe a little bit older.
Yep.
Yeah.
There are younger kids in there, but the impression I've gotten is like, I mean, I would straight up say 85% adults. Pulling a number out of the air. But if I'm on PlayStation right now in Apex, I'm playing with at least 50% kids, at least mic'd up. You know, and I assume that most of the ones that aren't mic'd up have parental controls because they're actually children. All of this is to say you've got a bunch of kids who don't care about that stuff, but they'll show you a mean floss.
Yeah. Great.
And then you've got a bunch of people our age who don't have the same background. Mm-hmm. Like we've got nostalgia for stuff. You know, we're in our 20s, so to talk about nostalgia is funny.
Sure.
But like we are the generation of nostalgia.
Sure. Yeah.
There's all this stuff going on, but there's so many things online. If I'm talking to another 30-ish year old on Apex, there's probably not actually that much we have in common. I feel like 10 or 15 years ago, when the internet age was so much younger, or, you know, the people playing Halo on Xbox and stuff, that community was so much smaller and there were a lot more shared experiences. And now I feel like the internet is so big, it's been around, that those shared experiences are way different. I saw a meme. Sorry, I'm really going off the deep end here.
Okay.
But I actually was thinking about this a lot recently. Mm-hmm. I saw a meme that, you know, it's four panels. The first one is a kid playing Fortnite, and there's a kid with a Minecraft shirt that says, "Man, do you even play real, or you don't even play real games?" And then next panel, it's that kid playing Minecraft, and it's somebody playing like, what was the one? Was it, I don't know. I don't know if it matters that much. Maybe it's Call of Duty, but it was that. And then the one before that was like Halo or something, you know. But the idea is just like, you got these generations where everybody sees the generation, you know, after them and says, "Oh my gosh, look at this kid stuff." But the difference now is that the Minecraft generation was only like 5 years ago, you know.
Yeah,
and now we're in the Fortnite generation.
I remember Minecraft like hit I remember Minecraft getting really fucking big, like, when I was, I think it was like sort of late into high school for me, which obviously might make some people who listen to this feel old, but whatever. But yeah, it is wild, and it is just wild how big that was. And I feel like people are so eager to just like, all right, cool, we had our time with that and we're ready to move on to the next thing. But there are still so many fucking people playing Minecraft. It is still consistently one of the biggest games in the world.
Yeah, the thing is, like, people move on, like the mainstream titles change, but the pool of players is growing so much. Like, if you're a kid now, there's just a really solid chance that you play some sort of video game. When we were kids, not, you know, there was so much smaller of a percentage of people doing that stuff. But now, like, my friend is a school nurse, and she said that there was like some sort of talent show thing where all these kids went up there. And I think the school she's at is like roughly kindergarten to sixth grade, something like that. And they had this thing, you know, you go up on stage and you can do whatever you want. And like the first graders went up there and then they flossed and everybody laughed. And then, like, the third graders went up there, and they flossed, and everybody laughed. And then the sixth graders went up there.
Yeah.
Can you guess what they did, Cam?
Orange Justice.
They did Orange Justice.
Great.
But then the other sixth graders came up there, and they fucking flossed, and everybody laughed.
I have had, like, I know some friends of mine who are specifically music teachers, and good Lord, they're just like, yeah, man, like, I don't even play Fortnite. I don't even really care about it, but I feel like I just have to know what it is to like keep up.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
Well, it's strange though. It's, I mean, here I am. This is my old man, you know, old man Tom, you know, creeping out. But the fact, it's not even the fact that everybody was flossing in that story. It was the fact that every single time people were just falling over, the kids were falling over laughing. Like, it just didn't get old. All of them were in on the joke, you know, from first grade to sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that did not exist when I was a kid. Like, to have a shared experience with that breadth of kids. When you're a kid, like, one grade away from you is a lifetime away.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Two grades away, man, they're, you know, those are big kids.
And just, like, even, just like you were saying, knowing kind of what games are and, like, the likelihood of, like, other people. Like, I could go through my elementary school and recite the fucking Chop Chop Master Onion rap from Parappa the Rapper, and like maybe one person in my entire school across like seven grades would even know what that is. Like, that's a wild thing.
So you've got a bunch of kids who have a lot of shared experiences, even though they're changing quickly. So you've got these like mini generations of gaming that can be broken down into like five-ish year chunks, and I feel like it's just going to keep getting smaller. Who knows? I'm not smart enough to really make claims like that, but that's how it is for this young generation that's coming up on this stuff now that was born into it. But for people our age, you're really reaching back. Like, you've got, even for a lot of people, if I hopped in Apex right now, so that's my go-to. A lot of people use Call of Duty. When I'll jump in there, I'll either make jokes or someone else will make jokes, and it'll become clear that there's barely any overlap in the games we play. Like, people have asked me, what am I playing? Or I've asked them, what are they playing? And we never, ever say the same games. When I tell people who I run into out in the world who like aren't gamers, but they're like, yeah, I play Call of Duty. I'll be like, you know, they'll say, hey, what are you playing? I'll be like, oh yeah, this game called Bastion. I just played it a little bit ago. It's an indie game. And they're like, oh, is indie like a you know, is indie the name of a studio?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that's a fair question. No. And they're like, so like, what is it, multiplayer? I'm like, no, but that's funny that you would ask that as the first question. Or mm-hmm. Yeah, second question.
Yeah.
But basically this idea of like an indie game was totally so far off their radar that they didn't even, they barely understood what I was talking about. And what that means, and those are usually people my age, my age or younger. And it's just funny to find myself in a position talking to somebody who's like, oh yeah, I play some games. I play Call of Duty as like pretty much the only answer anyone ever tells me. Like I would say 90% of the time that anyone says that, that's the only answer. I'm like, do you play any like single player games? And they're like, I mean, I played the campaign on Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, did you like it? They're like, I don't remember it. And I'm like, man, I'm really struggling. I'm really reaching here.
Yeah, we are definitely going way far on this tangent, but I definitely have noticed as like I'm definitely somebody who tries to keep up with video game news everywhere, and there's like a lot of people like in that space who like to discuss and talk about video games and like talk about upcoming releases and like basically do video gamey things on the internet, and it is wild how small of a bubble that actually is. Because
mm-hmm.
yeah, like most people like Madden and Call of Duty, even though people who like, not, I'm not talking shit on these games at all, because I do think that they are important, they serve a purpose, people really like those, but the people who like to talk about and appreciate games and like kind of the major enthusiast like bubble of games, that's not the target market. And it is so small, and those people are, they might play them, but like it's never going to be really important to that small bubble. But there's so many people outside of that bubble that they're always consistently in the top 10. Like, I think last year was one of the first years that Call of Duty was not the best selling game of the entire year. It was Red Dead 2, but mm-hmm. Rockstar also has the like appeal to like break that bubble. Like, it is not uncommon for Rockstar. Like, I feel like if any studio were to like announce their new game in like the fucking New York Times, then they would be it, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, there's, you know, Skyrim is a pretty popular game, right?
I never heard of it.
Well, I made a joke in one of the local, in the local Madden group, mm-hmm. and I don't play Madden. I don't really play any sports games. But I was in there, and somebody, and I apologize if I've already said this on the podcast, somebody in there, this is like 6 months ago, says, man, so like low-key, I think this Skyrim game is really good. And that's all they said. And I was like, what? Oh, hot off the presses. Like, oh my gosh, somebody likes Skyrim. He says that, and he says, has anyone else in here played it? And there are like 1,000 people in there. Mm-hmm. And so I commented, I was like, that's like asking if people wear pants. And he responded, he's like, I mean, in this group, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
And so I paid more attention. Dude, all of the other people who, there are like 4 other people who responded on that post, they didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
They never even heard of it. And I'm like, man, I can't believe you are playing a video game and you don't know at least, like, you don't know of one of the most popular video games of all time. And similar things like that have happened in other places. But mm-hmm. I'm always just blown away. I'm like, man, I just thought there would be some overlap here.
Yeah, it is really, really interesting. We are running a little bit long on time here.
Lol.
So I'm going to jump over.
Hey, just like WoW Classic.
Yeah,
last forever.
I'm going to jump over to what I've been playing. So I'm going to go sort of chronologically. I haven't really talked about Fire Emblem much on this podcast at all. I feel like just we've had a lot of weird like life and scheduling stuff come up like right as soon as that game came out.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I remember we recorded an episode like 3 days after it came out, but I had maybe spent an hour and a half into it. I am kind of falling off of that game a little bit. I think it may have just been that it was a little overhyped for me. I do know, I don't really consider this much of a spoiler just because it is something that literally everybody talks about. Like, there is a, quote, time skip in that game where time will, like, jump forward to another point in time. I think I am, like, literally right before that. And I really enjoyed a lot of this game for, like, the first, I don't know what chapter I'm on. I'm going to go ahead and say like chapter 10 or 11 or something. But I like for the first 8 chapters, I was like, yeah, this is really cool. It's neat. You're basically going around as your character. You are a professor in charge of this like class that they just call house, hence 3 houses. And each one has like different characters in there. And then like they essentially are your units in battle. You're like training them to become officers at this training academy. You spend like your free time like walking around talking to them. You can like give them gifts or like eat meals with them to like increase their motivation, stuff like that. It's very like a lot of it is very much kind of a social sim akin to like Persona. It seems a little bit more fleshed out. I really do like the fact that not only do characters bond with you, but they can bond with each other.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is really neat. So like if you have I'm not even going to try to just pick 2 characters at random because there's a lot of characters in this game. But like if you have like character A and they're fighting next to like physically next to on like the tactics Fire Emblem turn-based strategy ship, if they're sitting right next to each other and like person B attacks and takes out an enemy next to them, then if they're adjacent to each other, then like a little heart symbol will pop up and they get like points towards their bond. And you get like bonuses depending on like how close those 2 units are to each other, which I think is really cool and neat. Yeah.
I don't think I've heard of that mechanic in a
right. Like and before. Like coming from like me coming from very much a Persona background, like it's those games very much feel like your character is the only important one in that world because you're the only one that can like flesh out these bonds and like have these cool experiences with them. So it was really neat to see that. Anytime they're like bond level ranks up, then you get to see like a little cutscene of those 2 characters interacting. There's a lot of them, which is really cool. I think the game is a little overwhelming because there is, oh good lord, at least 30, maybe 40 characters that you can like create bonds with and interact with. All of them are like different characters.
That's a lot of characters.
Yeah, it's a little overwhelming. The game just kind of makes you pick which house you want to be in charge of, kind of before you've really gotten to know any of them, which is like kind of neat. Because it's like very much like you are making this decision at the start, which I guess if you are a new teacher at a school, you wouldn't really know the kids that well anyway. I think all that stuff is neat, but it does start to just kind of feel like I am going through the motions a little bit. I have heard that once I hit the point that I am apparently very close to, then shit, quote, pops off and it does some really, really cool things that I'm probably going to try and stick around and see.
All right. Finish up your list and then tell me how realistic it is for you in like the next week or two to get to that point.
Because
last time we spoke, you were still at this point.
Yeah, haven't been playing it. Like, there's been other stuff that I've been wanting to check out, namely a couple of one thing on this list in particular that I'm going to go through. But I don't know. I feel like I should just power through it over the next couple of days. Just so I can at least kind of like see what's happening. I do intend to at least try to roll credits on it once, but the game is really fucking long. It feels very kind of padded out. I'm not
right,
crazy.
Here's what we can do.
Okay.
Instead of setting like an alarm on your phone, I'll set an alarm on my phone.
Yeah.
And each time it goes off, I'll be like, all right, so what progress have you made?
Just shoot me a text like, you fucking playing Fire Emblem? You gotta teach those fucking kids.
Just check it on you. I'll be like, send me a picture or you're not playing right now.
I'm not crazy about like tactical, like turn-based strategy combat. Like it's never been my favorite thing. There is like an auto battle system, which I kind of feel bad for using, but I've just been using it. I'm also playing the game on kind of a really easy difficulty, so it feels like there's no stakes, but you can't change the difficulty once you've started playing, which is a bummer.
Okay, that's frustrating.
It is, because this game is like 80 plus hours long.
Yeah, and
And so I'm playing on normal casual, which is just, I picked it because it was like the middle of the road, like the just the regular ass difficulty. So I'm like, okay, there's going to be like a bit of a challenge. If you are like at the level of the enemy or like even maybe one below or anywhere above, you're just like one-shotting every single enemy you come across.
Yeah.
And also I'm playing on casual, so there's no like Fire Emblem permadeath. So if a character dies, they just kind of get knocked out.
Yeah.
And so they don't actually like they don't just not exist.
And how do you feel about that?
I'm bored.
Yeah.
I do kind of wish that I played maybe not like a harder difficulty, but if I was playing on this kind of normal difficulty, I do wish that I picked the classic one, which has the permadeath. Mm-hmm. That way there's like at least some sort of stakes going into each battle, so I don't feel like I am literally just going through the motions.
Right. And it would be like a unique story to you, because if you like killed a couple people that you know that I didn't kill.
Right. And that would have been kind of a cool thing to think about. Like if you're putting yourself into the shoes of this professor, like think about, like, I think it's a really neat idea, and I don't know if they actually really get into this, because obviously I'm not playing on this difficulty, but like, hey, you're a professor, and this kid in charge of you and who you were like giving orders to fucking died under your watch, and you just have to live with that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, right. Like, that's fucking
wild. Bad day work, am I right?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm worried that because of the difficulty, I'm not giving it a fair shake. But, like, to be completely honest, I do not have time, because there's other stuff that I want to play, to just start over and, like, play on another difficulty.
How much time do you think you've put in there so far?
Oh, if I had my Switch, I would probably pull it out right now and check. But, maybe 20, 30 hours? I've put in some time.
Yeah, way too many to go back.
Right.
I mean, same thing with WoW. Like, I've put in about that many hours now on my server. I'm not trying to start fresh on a brand new server.
And my kind of concern is, I feel like I know that this game is very long just from, like, reading a few of the reviews and, like, hearing some people talk about it. But fuck, man, like, it feels like at this point that any other game would just be wrapping up. But I know there is, like, at least another half of this game to go. So I'm like, man, I'm really concerned that this cool plot stuff that's going to happen, I don't know if it's going to be enough to really just kind of push me to the end. Granted, it could be the coolest fucking thing. Like, a lot of people I have been talking to said it is really cool how they handle a lot of this stuff. But I don't know. It's really hard for me to like a whole lot of the characters and, like, kind of get, like, any sort of, like, me attachment to them. Like, not the character, but, like, me, like, wanting to interact with these characters. And I don't know if that might just be the fact that there's, like, 30 of them.
Yeah, that's
you can
a lot.
Also recruit people who aren't in those houses to your class. You can take people from other classes and recruit them into your class, which is interesting. So then they, like, become your unit and part of your class, and you can build bonds with them easier and stuff. But I don't know.
As an outsider, that sounds like too many people.
I know it's a good game. I know that this is super well made, but man, I am just having a hard time playing it, and it's really bumming me out.
Yeah.
Because I really want to like it. I feel like in an ideal world that I would really, really like this game. And I know that I am kind of the minority if you, like, look up anybody talking about Fire Emblem.
Yeah, well,
everybody's,
I was surprised,
like, this game is fucking great. Like,
yeah, I was surprised, actually, that it didn't hit you just right.
Me too. And I thought it was going to for a little while. But then, like, once I started getting into this rhythm of, like, okay, I'm, like, doing these cool things. I'm, like, teaching these people. I'm, like, raising their stats. I'm, like, building them out to be these own characters. But now it just feels like, all right, well, I'm just doing that, and I don't necessarily know what an end goal is. So
yeah.
I might report back in a couple of weeks and just see if, once I get kind of over that hump, see how things go for that. But I don't know.
All right. It's September 9th when we're recording.
Yes.
Do you think you can get past, do you think you can put in, like, well, I don't know how many, can you get past the spot by the end of September?
I probably could, especially since it's on the Switch. Like, that's kind of the one advantage that I think this game has, is it is a big, meaty game, but I can take it anywhere I want.
And it's Switch exclusive, right?
It is, yeah. It's a Nintendo, like, Fire Emblem is a Nintendo property.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I knew that.
So one of the reasons that I have been having issues playing this is because Control came out.
Yeah, baby.
God, that game is fucking cool.
I'm very interested in that game.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I'm playing on the base PS4, which don't.
I've heard it ain't
it
so
runs
good.
Like, just a flaming pile of dog shit sometimes. Like, so Control, if you're not aware, the newly released third person shooter from Remedy Entertainment, who did, like, Alan Wake, Quantum Break. This is their kind of new thing. It's on multiple platforms. It's really neat. It's very, like, sci-fi oriented, a lot of kind of X-Files, Twin Peaks kind of vibes with this one. You basically play as this woman. Her name is Jessie. She essentially wanders into this building, the Federal Bureau of Control, which is essentially this, like, established U.S. government authority, like this bureaucracy that is designed to handle, like, paranatural stuff going on, like other dimensions, like weird shit in this game. And eventually, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I am going to go over what happens in like the first 5 minutes of this fucking game, mm-hmm. where like you basically just wander through this building and you don't know what the hell is happening. And then you hear a gunshot come from like the director of the FBC's office, and he just like fucking pops himself in the head. You pick up his gun because like this voice in your head tells you to, and then you essentially become the new director of the Federal Bureau of Control. And it just
dramatic turn of events.
Right. And the gun is really cool. It's called the service weapon, which is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
like
that's
the
a
name,
cool name
for shit like in this game is so good. So like it is a gun that is just a pistol, but as you go on, you can like upgrade it and unlock different forms, like where if you just press square, like it just like sort of morphs into a shotgun, or it sort of morphs into like a machine pistol, or like I have one that it just sort of morphs into like a sniper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool thing. You eventually get different cool, like almost like telekinetic powers.
Yeah, I have seen that.
And that's like primarily what a lot of the combat is. And let me tell you, just picking up a random object off the ground and just flinging it at someone never gets old.
Yeah, and from what I saw, and you mentioned this a bit ago, we were on our friend Chris's podcast, Look Who's Talking Mao. Pluck, 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 pluck.
Go check it out.
And you should check that out. The fact that when you reach out, it literally always will grab something.
Yeah, as long as you have like your quote energy bar is filled. If it has to, it'll just like rip ground off of the ground or like concrete off the wall, and you can just like hurl it at people.
Yeah. Do you have like a bar?
Yeah, yeah. There's like an energy bar at the top, which is shared by all of your skills. Like I don't have all of the powers. I just unlocked this like dash one, and that takes much less. But like you get, if you have a full bar, you can get like two quick launch is what it's called. Like you're throwing shit.
Mm-hmm.
You get two of those in a row before you have to like recharge. The lore in the story is like, I don't want to say it's like drip fed to you, but it's told from like the perspective of Jesse. Obviously that's your character, but a lot of the dialogue is just her like inner monologue talking to this like voice inside her head, who is this kind of character, which you get into a little bit more. And you will like pick up documents and like read shit. And a lot of stuff is like blacked out, like you would expect this like classified document would be, which is kind of really cool. And the very first document you pick up, like it's like, hey, you can't bring these items in here, these are forbidden. And it's got like, okay, well, you know, like a gun, like a knife, oh, like an object that kind of might resemble something, or like, oh, well, you can't bring in something that is like it might have this sort of like, it's like an ideal version of something, because it doesn't explain that. So it like leaves it up to your imagination to like try and figure out what the hell is going on there. Like every single time I pick up anything in that game, I just stop and read it, because it is so fucking fascinating.
That's cool.
It's kind of Metroidvania ish. The map is a little bit hard to go through, but man, that game is really cool. The enemies are like smartly designed and terrifying. It's got kind of I wouldn't say the game is scary, but it's very much, it's a little suspenseful, kind of like a similar vibes to like a BioShock, like that first quarter of BioShock,
yeah,
where it's like you don't know what's happening, and like there's no real jump scares, but shit's weird.
Yeah, and you're trying, like there's a mystery,
right?
And
right,
you are a fish out of water.
Yes, and like you are trying to figure out shit as well as the main character, which is a really cool thing. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I'm going to spend a lot more time with it. Borderlands comes out this Friday, so I really need to get through this.
How much of Borderlands do you think you're going to get into?
I don't know. I really want to finish Control.
Should finish Control.
I do. I fully intend on it. Yeah, that game's really cool. The enemies are really neat and like smartly designed. I just got like an ability where your launch can just grab a rocket that is just thrown at, that shot at you, and you can just throw it right back.
Dope.
It's real good.
Oh, that,
real good.
That, what a sweet video game mechanic. Like,
oh, man.
Whether it's Titanfall or BioShock
right,
had that. Man, anytime you can straight up do that, you feel like a movie action
totally,
hero.
Totally. But yeah, I cannot recommend Control enough if you like weird sci-fi and also feeling like a total badass. I also think it's cool that like she's just this female main character, which you don't really see a whole lot of big like first, not first person, big single player games kind of relying on as much anymore, at least in like a more mainstream. This very much doesn't feel like a big AAA release. It feels like kind of like a double A. Mm-hmm. So I...
Well, you can even think it in their other releases, Alan Wake and Quantum Break.
Yes.
Both of those were single male protagonists.
Right.
You know, going on his mission. And this seems really cool. Something I'm thinking about, you said that you basically have another character that's kind of in your head? Question mark. That reminds me of how they're doing it in Cyberpunk 2077, where the Keanu character is kind of in your head. Well, he is in your head, but he is like kind of his own character that you can affect, and he can affect you.
Yeah, this one is has like your decisions like mean nothing. Like this game is like relatively linear in terms of like how the story progresses. There are like side quests and little like almost kind of dailies that you can get for like stuff. What? It's really interesting. Like. It's not like a daily where there's like a timer. There are some quests with timers, but that's not important to get into right now. But excuse me. But yeah, like the quote voice in your head. I'm just totally spitballing here. Like I don't actually know anything about it, so I can't really spoil anything. But like it doesn't actually talk. There's like this like visual kind of like shatter kind of look whenever it quote says something, and then Jesse just kind of responds to it in her head. It's kind of a cool thing.
That is cool.
So Play Control, that's really it. Those are mostly the big two that I've been playing.
Cyberpunk doesn't come out till like next April.
Yeah, I think
right?
so.
Okay, then I think before this year is out, I think my two games I'm looking forward to the most are that, like looking forward to playing, are that and Outer Worlds. Outer Worlds.
Fuck, I forgot that's coming out.
Is that...
Yeah, the Outer Worlds, the Obsidian one.
I hate that I get them mixed up so bad in my head.
Yeah, I don't really understand.
I'm interested in Outer Worlds, but I'm probably going to wait a while to play that, because I for sure want to hear plenty of reviews before I dive in.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way.
But Control, I didn't know that game existed until I saw the review on Giant Bomb the day it came out. And they're like, hey, check this out. And I'm like, this wasn't even on my radar.
It's cool. It's really, really cool.
I love
really
that
cool.
It just came. Well, I don't know what their marketing was. Maybe it just passed me by.
It may have. They didn't do a big push on it. I think it showed up at some E3 conferences.
Seems great. Yeah. Like Bioshock, cool. Where they're just like, hey, here it is. Word of mouth. Yeah. And then it's out there.
All right. Well, we are running a little long. So let's go ahead and take a little bit of a break. We'll come back and we will talk about some cool stuff that was announced at the Nintendo Direct this past like week or so.
Hello, everyone. This is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network. Currently, you've probably heard me on a show called Screen Heroes, where we discuss movies and TV shows about superhero, sci-fi, and a little bit of fantasy. Well, I love fantasy so much, I am starting a brand new podcast about fantasy television series. We are going to review these series in a bit more detail than what Screen Heroes usually does. We'll discuss multiple episodes for a whole continuous arc and then move on to another series. Spellbound will review new shows like The Witcher, Good Omens, Carnival Row, and Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance. We're also going to look back at previous shows such as American Gods and Avatar the Last Airbender, old miniseries from the 90s like Leprechauns and the 10th Kingdom, and we're going to do a movie here and there, maybe even a little bit of fantasy upcoming news, who knows. You'll be able to follow Spellbound at SpellboundCast on Twitter for the latest fantasy news about the show, about the upcoming shows that we'll be discussing. You can also listen to us Fridays coming in September.
Hey, we are back. So a super, super fucking good Nintendo Direct happened like last week. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did, but I want you to tell me about it because, I watched it. Let's hear what you have to say.
Okay, great. I was like jumping off my fucking couch at like half those announcements. It was the wildest shit. Like, anyway, okay. So, instead of like going through and like rewatching it and writing everything down like I probably should have, I'm using Kotaku's article written by Chris Kohler. Go give them a click. It is just entitled "Everything Announced During Today's Nintendo Direct," which today was last Wednesday. So this is in no particular order. This is just... probably just whatever they had like deemed like most important at the top. But anyway, First on their list is Super Nintendo games finally coming to Switch tomorrow, aka it was like Thursday last week.
So out now.
Yeah, I think that is a much requested feature. The games that are out right now for that are Brawl Brothers, Demon's Crest, Joe and Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Star Fox, Super EDF Earth Defense Force, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, Super Puyo Puyo 2, which actually never came out in America, so it's just like the Famicom version, which is kind of cool. Super Tennis, Breath of Fire, F-Zero, Kirby's Dream Course, Pilot Wings, Stunt Race FX, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario World, Super Metroid, Super Soccer, and Link to the Past. That's a good list. Like, that's I feel like, for what most people would want from a library like this from the get-go, like, if you, I feel like if you asked a lot of people what they would want to play Super Nintendo games on the Switch, like, Super Mario World's on there, Super Mario Kart, maybe, definitely Super Metroid, definitely Link to the Past.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like those are like the ones that you like kind of have to get on there. I like that Kirby's Dream Land 3 is on there because I think that is a really good game. Really surprised they just didn't put Kirby Superstar on there, which I feel is like the more complete Kirby game. Like, not that Dream Land 3 is bad, but Superstar is way fucking better.
Yeah.
Is this doing anything for you?
Not really.
Okay.
So what's funny is when they announced that, I feel weird about this direct because everyone whose opinion I value is just like, heck yeah, this thing is great. Look at all these announcements. And I'm like, man, I guess I'm realizing that I just don't care about the Super Nintendo that much.
That's fair. Yeah, I
didn't realize.
My first system was the original PlayStation. So, like, I missed all of these games. I've never played Super Metroid. I've always wanted to. Never played Link to the Past. But I also just have been historically known to just not give a shit about Zelda games. And, like, Super Mario World, I feel like everybody's played at some point. Or at least part of it, you know?
Yeah, I would go back for that one.
Right.
If I hadn't already beat Link to the Past, I would do that.
Sure.
Super Metroid's good. That's the only game on that entire list that I've beaten. I don't even think I ever actually beat Link to the Past now that I'm saying it out loud, but that's okay. I saw a lot of that game and I was happy with it.
Sure, yeah.
But I have never played a Kirby game, so I could play the one, right?
Dream Land 3 is pretty good. It is a lot of fun. I do still think that Superstar is the best one. I think it's, honestly, it's not my favorite, but it is the, I would say, maybe the best one, just kind of across Kirby, period.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also announced kind of after the fact that they're not going to be doing like a monthly rollout like they have been with the NES games. It's going to be just kind of a piecemeal, like, as they come kind of a thing, which is a little bit of a weird choice, but I feel like this lineup is already really fucking solid anyway.
Yeah, honestly, the release schedule to me, so again, I'm kind of out of the loop.
Sure.
Like, this direct, more than any other, has made me realize, like,
this direct really felt like a big deal to people who are fans of, like, niche bullshit.
Yes.
Which I am. Like,
yes, and that's exactly right. How I feel about this.
I feel like this direct was very much the personification of, yeah, fuck it, let's put it on Switch.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, which we will get into later.
So I would play Kirby. I'd play the Mario game, whichever one you said. I can't even remember. Super Mario World, because I've barely played that. Most of the other stuff I don't care about, but in general, I think I mostly only like retro games in the, like, hey, come over and we're going to couch co-op this thing.
Sure.
Which you can do with any game. But it didn't hit me like I thought it would. So I don't know. That kind of set the stage for the rest of the show. I want to say real quick, this is about Nintendo Directs, not the actual news. This cracks me up. The show opens, and I don't even remember what game they opened with, where there's this big dramatic
for this one
trailer.
Or
yeah,
it was Overwatch.
Okay, then right after that.
Okay,
but there was something. It doesn't matter. But there was some reveal. It's like, hey, this thing, you know, this old title, this probably an SNES game, I don't know, is coming to the Switch. Well, they did that, and then they went through the rest of their presentation. Well, the presentation is like 40 minutes long.
Yeah.
I think, well, about 30 minutes into it, they're up there. They're like, oh, man, haven't we had so much fun during this direct? Remember when we did this, and it shows the reveal? It's like, dude, that was 30 minutes ago.
There's like a weird, there's a weird charm to Nintendo Directs in that they are just this kind of weird thing. Like, I know a lot of people, I don't know if it's even a lot of people, but I know some people complain about, like, man, you spent too much fucking time on this thing. Like, I think that summer before Smash came out at E3, where they spent like 35 minutes on Smash. That's a bit much. That should have been its own thing for sure. But I think whenever they like I think of the Mario Tennis Aces, whenever they had like a deep gameplay dive into that, and it was like 10 minutes or so of like them just going to like, this is this and you can do this in this game, and it's like super deep, and I'm like, there's a weird kind of charm to this, and I can't really like put my finger on it, but I'm like really kind of here for it.
Well, I think it's funny when they, because this is exactly what you're saying, when they were showing Banjo-Kazooie as a, hey, released character, fucking he's out. Now check out all his abilities. The depth that they go into of what his abilities do, how they can use them, tactics on how to use it. It's like, man, you guys
That was technically after the Direct, but that was...
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was... There was a lot of fun charm associated with that, too.
There's nothing else like that in the entire industry.
Totally. Like, everybody else is like, they have to be, like, super... And even, like, Sony, whenever they... I don't know if they're still doing the State of Plays. They did, like, two of them. They're, like, quote, Nintendo Direct, where they're just like, hey, they felt very... Almost, I don't want to say lifeless, but they felt like they didn't have a personality. Like, they were very, not necessarily corporate, but it was like, here's a game, here you go. Here's a game, here you go. Like, it was, and that's totally what a Nintendo Direct is doing, but there's just this weird charm about it that
there's
I can't really put my finger on it.
Some cultural stuff that Japan is responsible for specifically.
Like, how after a lot of the games where they actually talk about, they say, please look forward to it. Which I think is a really neat, cool thing. Like, I fucking love Nintendo Directs.
Well,
like,
everything they do, it just doesn't... There's not... It's apples and oranges compared to most releases. I mean, the Nintendo Direct has set the stage for how a big company can release information, but also hype people up. But also, it hits a bunch of spots in a specific way that other, you know, press conferences don't. I like that Sony dipped their toe in the State of Play. I want to see more of it. I want to see a better version of it. Mm-hmm. But I'm always rubbed the wrong way, in a funny way, at the press conferences of E3, for example, when you have somebody go up on stage and they do some dumb, really awkward skit. But it's not dumb in like the, oh, hee-hee, isn't this quirky and fun
way.
It's
dumb in the, like, please stop. Like,
yeah, it's
I
like,
need you to...
oh, man, you guys probably...
Yeah.
Oh, like, you should have tested this some more.
A lot of people thought this was a good idea.
Yeah, and it's just a bunch of corporate misses.
Yeah.
You know, and at least when you get the, like, Todd Howards of the industry up there, even if they're really, like, halfway corporate about it, at least they got some personality. They've got their own brand that goes along with the game and stuff. All of the directs are dripping with Nintendo... style,
right?
You know, everything that embodies, and they nail it. Like, whether you like it or not is up to whoever. I mean, I think it's cool, but it is undeniably its own charm, and I wish that we saw more of that from other parts of the industry, especially the conglomerates, the Sonys and Microsofts of the world, because that stuff's interesting and it's personal, and I just get tired. I feel weird when I see something that seems like it, you know, was revised, like something written on a script that was revised 10 times.
Sure.
I really like the style of the Direct, even if I don't actually care about most of the stuff.
I think they're cool. Going along here.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
We're never going to get through this podcast if I keep opening
like,
my mouth.
We're going to die here, Thomas. Yeah. Like, this is...
Well, buckle in.
They announced that Banjo and Kazooie coming to Super Smash Bros. That day, which I did not expect, because I know, like, before that it said fall 2019. I'm like, okay, probably like a... Usually fall usually means, like, end of November with a lot of release dates, because that you just give them a little bit of wiggle room, but there's like, no, fuck it, he's out now. I'm like, yeah. It was really cool. And then I really enjoyed the deep dive they did into that after, where they also were like, hey, home run contest is back. I'm like, yeah, it is.
Oh,
fuck yeah, it is. They added Sans from Undertale as like a DLC skin, but it also comes with a hot as fuck remix of Megalovania.
Yeah, they played
it's
that.
It's real good.
I
bought it just for the music, like straight up.
Yeah, and Toby Fox, who's of course the composer for Undertale, which Sans is from, he is the composer on another
game that I will get to later.
Cool.
Yes,
but I like that stuff.
Yes.
I like Toby Fox.
It's really neat how he just went from like this dude who made this like kind of weird, almost Earthbound kind of ROM hack to, you know, playing Smash Bros. With the creative director of Smash Bros.
Yeah, that's
like,
pretty
that's
cool.
That's cool. And then they also announced the fourth DLC character for the Fighter's Pass, who is Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury, which I know, like, it had sort of leaked out a little bit beforehand that it was going to be some sort of SNK rep. I think that's a really good one. Personally, I would like to see them get really weird with, like, a fucking Metal Slug character or something. But that would have been wild, right?
I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
that'd
right.
be good.
But I think this is a good pick. Like, Fatal Fury and, like, all of that SNK stuff deserves to have representation. They've been super important in gaming history. The Neo Geo is a cool fucking system.
You, Jimmy, and I were spitballing I think it was mostly me reading and you guys talking, but
me and Jimmy were just like, who the fuck could be next? Because, like, to be honest, there's no rules. And they also announced, like, hey, we're giving you more DLC characters. I'm like, yes, like, I want Sakurai to rest, but I just don't think that he would let himself do it.
No, I don't think he can't.
Right. I just don't think he's capable, which sucks.
He's a shark if he stops swimming.
Yeah, but...
It really feels like anyone could be in the game.
Like, fuck it. Goku is, like, the most non-zero percent chance he's ever been, and that's been a running joke since, like, 2004.
Right.
So...
Well, it's the... Yeah. This is the year of 2004, so... I wonder who we'll see.
I got fucking Persona in Smash Bros, so just whoever you want to give me, I'll take it.
I didn't expect fucking Sans as a technically playable character.
Right. Which, by the way, everybody online is playing him.
Oh, no
doubt.
Every
fucking person.
How could you not?
Like, I hopped on some online matches after that patch went live, and it's just like, Sans. I'm like, fucking, okay. I had to quit playing because I just cannot play against Mii Gunner. But anyway, moving on. Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE Encore, which is a mouthful.
What?
Yeah. Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE was a Fire Emblem cross Shin Megami Tensei game that came out on Wii U exclusively and was apparently beloved by a whole lot of fucking people. It's like very kind of like J-pop musical centric, but like I think it's got some like combat similar to like a Shin Megami Tensei game. It always seemed really cool to me and I've always wanted to play it and now I get the opportunity.
Okay, why did I just call you Jeremy?
I don't know.
Cam, if I could snap my fingers, if I won the lottery tomorrow,
yes.
I wish I owned a business where I could have people just come in and play literally anything so that I could watch them play literally anything. Like, I wish that while I was eating dinner, I could watch people play all these... Like,
might I introduce you to this website, twitch.tv?
I understand. But, it's different in person.
Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I know. And, there are so many games I don't want to play. I don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole, but I'd watch someone else enjoy them. And for me, that is, like, basically any JRPG.
Sure.
Like, Fire Emblem games. I have zero interest in playing any Fire Emblem game I've ever seen. But I wish I was in the room where it happened. I wish I could watch people enjoying this stuff so I could just pop in and pop out.
Yeah, totally.
Because there are lots of stuff, like, again, like this whole Nintendo Direct, there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, I'm not totally sure what this is. People seem excited. I wish I could be in the room with them when they're excited. Because, man.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard of that game. I've never heard of
it.
It was a
very, like, as a lot of this Direct is, it's a very niche title, but it was... the people who, like, a lot of people that you see online, because there's been an obvious trend of, like, bringing Wii U games to the Switch, and there's a fly right in front of me.
Oh, sorry.
There's been, like, this obvious trend of bringing Wii U games to the Switch, and this is one that I have felt, like, has the loudest kind of group of people, like, just really wanting kind of a definitive version, like they have done with fucking everything at this point. There's, like, maybe 3 Wii U exclusive games that haven't come out on the Switch. And it's like Star Fox Zero, The Wonderful 101, and probably some Super Mario 3D World, which I'm really surprised hasn't come over, actually. But yeah, I'm excited to play that. It always looked neat to me because I'm into that weeby bullshit. And honestly, I just like really great music in games. And I like heard some of the music and it's very like J-pop-y in like a really cool way that I'm really interested in.
I listened to the Sonic the Hedgehog Racing soundtrack.
God, okay. Like, are you talking about like Team Sonic Racing or like
Sonic R?
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
I think Team Sonic Racing.
Great. The new one.
I think.
Great. Okay.
I don't
sure.
know. I found a link online at one point, a Spotify playlist that somebody made. Anyway, I listened to it. And man, that stuff is not really my cup of tea. Like, I would never usually turn that on of all the game music I could listen to. But I turned it on, and I'm like, I'm tapping my feet. I'm like, man, this is
hell
pretty catchy.
Yeah.
It's so uniquely J-pop. Well, it's like English J-pop. But that stuff cracks me
up. I feel
like
Sonic music is just kind of its own weird genre at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does feel like its own genre.
It has its own kind of flavor for sure. Mm-hmm. Moving on, we have another very niche thing, Deadly Premonition 2, which is something that I never would have expected. Deadly Premonition is a weird as fuck mystery game. And also, it's the original one's out on Switch, like, as of last week. Those games are weird and, like, not in, like... Swery is the like the creative director of those. He's very strange in like he has his own style for sure. Like he puts out some like really neat and interesting games, and I think that's probably why this is like so sought after, even though I don't think anybody expected a sequel to that fucking game. But he very much has his own style, which is kind of neat. And yeah, if you haven't seen any of Deadly Premonition 1, I really kind of feel like the best way to experience that first game is to watch somebody play it, because it's really just kind of a little frustrating to play. I know way back, like, Giant Bomb did a kind of an endurance run of Deadly Premonition. There's tons of like YouTube videos of people playing, and I would recommend going and checking it out. If it seems like your cup of tea, you might like it. If you can put some gameplay annoyances aside for the sake of like a weird cool mystery story, then definitely check it out.
Cool.
I'm interested in that for sure. Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection will be available December 6th, which is a port of Black Flag and Rogue. People really like Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
Yeah.
It's a cool pirate game.
That is arguably the most interested I've been in any Assassin's Creed game.
Well, it's coming to Switch.
Oh, yeah. I missed that.
Well, this is a Nintendo Direct, so... I've never played an Assassin's Creed game for more than like 10 minutes, so I don't know if I would fire this one up. I have an issue going back like not super long to games. Like, I can jump pretty easily back to like the Super Nintendo, but it's really tough for me to jump back like a generation sometimes, just because I feel like
the games were good enough to still feel modern,
right?
But not enough to hold you tight,
right?
Can you tell me? Are you able to stream stuff from the Switch natively?
No, you are not. Whenever I do my streaming, I have an Elgato that I have it hooked up to.
And that
to
runs
do
my streaming. Your PC?
Yeah, it's a capture card.
Maybe I'll catch somebody. I might actually turn on that website known as Twitch.
Oh, interesting.
Because I could check that out. I'm probably not going to play it. So I wonder if I can catch somebody who's just starting it. That would be interesting.
Probably would be able to, yeah. Especially like once it comes out. I know a lot of people like streaming games on launch day for sure.
Yeah, I'm interested in that.
We have Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition coming 2020. I didn't really expect that, just because I guess that's one of the Wii U games that has now made its way over, because like Xenoblade Chronicles 2 had come out, and I know a lot of people really wanted a remaster of Xenoblade Chronicles, because that game is actually a Wii game. They like got like a sort of remake on the Wii U, and sure, mm-hmm. whatever, but you know, JRPG bullshit. But
yeah,
a lot of people have told me that I would really like it, so I might give that a shot. But man, my time is filling up with beefy JRPGs that I don't know if I'm gonna have time to get through, because like here in the next couple of weeks, Dragon Quest XI comes out on Switch, which I already have pre-ordered. Like, I'm really excited to just dive into that. And then probably around the time I finish that, fucking Persona 5 Royal is going to come out, and there goes the rest of my fucking free time. Mm-hmm. So, I'm interested to check it out. I know I'd probably like it, but, you know, we'll see if I have time for it.
Yeah.
Overwatch is coming to Switch in what is arguably the worst kept secret of all fucking time.
Yeah, there's the leak recently of the license, the officially licensed Overwatch Nintendo Switch case.
Yeah, man.
Was that an Amazon leak, I think?
Yeah, it was.
Man, we live in the age of leaks.
It's wild that most of them also come from, like, third-party peripherals, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's always a bag or, like, some sort of controller or, like, a skin for something.
Right, of all the things to give away.
Yeah.
That's goofy. I still don't know. I've barely researched it, but it's not clear to me if any of my like PlayStation stuff would carry over to the Nintendo Switch. I'm not sure if it would, because I can't remember if way back in the day I logged in to my Blizzard account on my PlayStation. I want to say I did not, because my Hearthstone account is not linked to anything else. So that begs the question. if, you know, are they trying to appeal to people who already own the game and would want to play it on Switch?
I would say probably not, just because I don't think there's any sort of cross progression, which kind of defeats the entire purpose. Like, I'm not going to pick this up just because I started playing on PC and then quit playing, but had some cool skins, started playing again on PS4, really wished that I could bring those over, but instead I just had to start over, and now I have a ton of cool skins on PS4, and I do not want to have to start over again. Like, that game is not, it is not my thing enough for me to want to play through all of that time again.
Yeah, I mean, at least it is all vanity. I mean, right, I'm pretty sure the choir here, you know, if you picked it up, you'd have the same exact stats and stuff
as anybody else. I think there's definitely going to be some people who play it, but I think that's the people who are maybe still playing it, actively, you know?
So here's what I would do. So yesterday, the Chiefs, were playing football, like, on Sunday, and my friend invited me over. Well, truth be told, I actually don't like football like I used to. I've never been, like, a massive fan, but when I'm in a room full of people who are talking about football, I'm like, oh, so this is what it's like when I talk about video games around people who don't care about video games. Mm-hmm. Cause it's one thing for me to, like, be ignorant and not know about stuff, and that's fine. But it's another to feel like I am living in a different world as these people. And so the issue is that some of the people I go and watch the game with get angry a lot at all sorts of football mm-hmm. stuff. I know plenty of football fans who just get upset. So a lot of sports fans who just get upset at sports.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So what I would do when I go over there, I want to hang out with my friends. I want to kind of half watch the game, but I need to occupy myself with something that I don't need to. Like, once I took one of my consoles over there and I was like, hey, some friend of mine who said you wanted to play X, you know, whatever game with me, let's do that. And I did it. And he was like, yeah, I'd rather just watch football. And I was like, that's fair. But if I come over here, I need to be be independent.
You're just there to, like, hang out with your friends. You don't give a shit about, like, what is actually happening.
Yeah, I wish I could do something with you, but honestly, just being in the same room is okay. So that's exactly where I would play Overwatch.
Right.
Because I could set up my own screen. I don't have to bring a monitor over, which was the really cumbersome thing last time. Because even if I didn't have to bring my PlayStation over, bring a monitor over is a pain. But now, I mean, I would just have the screen right in front of me. I could plug in a Pro Controller.
The Joy-Con sticks are terrible.
I'm absolutely not playing a shooter with the Joy-Con. But that's what I would do. I saw that on PC, Overwatch is like $20. So that's nothing crazy.
Yeah, I believe this is $40 on Switch.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's is on everything else.
Yeah.
So,
I hope that stuff sounds cool. If this really makes a splash, which I doubt it will, but if this makes a splash, it would be great to see more shooters, more multiplayer shooters, find their way onto the Switch. Because if I had more opportunities to use the Switch as, you know, in the best way possible, which is, hey, I can take this anywhere, I'd have to be on Wi-Fi to play something like that.
But which is kind of a weird, like, it always online games are kind of a weird thing for me on the Switch. Like, I understand wanting to put everything on the Switch, but mm-hmm. It takes away from the idea of, like, being able to take it with you. Like, that's been interesting to me.
If I'm on, we don't have the subway around here, but if I was on the subway, if I was on the city bus, if I'm playing a competitive game where I'm really actually trying to win, I want to play that on the bus.
Right.
Even if I had perfect internet, I need headphones on, and I don't want to be in a public place with headphones like that, even though people do that all the time. To me, this is exactly a take this over to your friend's Wi-Fi house and play games. So if this does well, I hope we see more stuff like this, because if Apex came to the Switch.
Ooh, yeah, I think that's a harder sell.
Absolutely.
That game would just, like, melt your Switch.
I think they could find ways to do it, but I understand.
Yeah.
I understand what you mean. I hope it does well, because
I think it'll do fine.
There are possibilities for me there where being able to have that screen somewhere else would be great for me.
Yeah. So we also
I just like Overwatch. Though.
That's fair. We also have Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition. That's hard to say.
That is a mouthful.
It's available on Switch today or last week.
Can you say the name of that one more time?
Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition. It nice supports job. Cross saves between Steam and Switch, which is cool.
That's good.
I like that. That's the only comment I have. People like that game. I'm happy for them that they get to play that on the go.
That's cool. I just wish they'd allowed the new Pokemon on it, or the old Pokemon, you know?
Please don't get me started on that. Game Freak, speaking of Pokemon, their game Town is now called Little Town Hero. Mm-hmm. That was the game you were alluding to earlier, where Toby Fox is actually composing for it.
That's
cool. The main character's name is Axe, but he doesn't have any weapons. He uses ideas to fight monsters in this town. It looks really charming and, like, kind of a neat thing.
Does he walk around and ask people questions?
Yes, probably, actually, yeah. So, yeah, it comes out October 16th, which is pretty soon. I didn't expect to see that until, like, next year.
Dude, Nintendo, man.
Yeah.
They're just like, hey.
Like, shout out to them. Like,
hot out the oven.
It's pretty cool. I'm interested to see that. Bethesda's re-releasing Doom 64. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yes. I've heard that is a Doom game.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You know, I can't really speak to that myself. Here's probably the weirdest announcement of the entire Direct. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast is coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
Fucking what?
What? Yes. Okay, I'm glad that's like we're on the same page
this
there.
Month. That's like September 24th is the release date for it. Like, just fucking what? Like,
I have friends who love or loved that game, but when they announce it, I'm just like, how do I feel about this?
I was just like, huh, all right. Like, it very much, I heard somebody describe on a show I was listening to today, like, if you go back to, like, IGN's April Fool's joke about how they were just like, we're putting every single fucking thing on Switch, at some point, once it got to, like, this during the presentation, I'm like, are they just doing that? Like, is that just are they like just making good on that April Fool's joke?
Dude,
like,
as we've talked about
literally
before,
one
April
of the
Fool's
last
jokes,
things I would have ever expected.
Yeah, absolutely. That would have been way down the list. Well, like we've talked about before, I feel like April Fool's jokes are just a like it's dipping your toe in the water. It's a company finding an opportunity to be like,
well,
hey, what if
going off on like kind of a tangent, like they announced Yakuza 7 and it's a turn-based RPG now.
Yeah.
But, like, the last time they showed off gameplay for it was April Fool's Day. And people were just like, oh, that's a joke. And they're just like, nah, what's up, motherfuckers? We made that game. And I'm like, all right, cool. Sure.
Man.
Yeah. All right.
April Fool's.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Super Kirby Clash is a free-to-play Kirby game. I haven't played it yet, but I have it installed. I've just been playing Control or, like, just sticking around on my phone. I've heard that it is very free to play.
Free to start.
Free to start. I'm sorry.
It's free to start.
That's the terms that they use.
Yeah, when I first looked at it, I was like, oh, this looks pretty cool. And then I watched like 20 minutes of gameplay of it, and I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Free to start is exactly what this is.
It's a boss rush, I think, like a class-based boss rush, which honestly, like, the boss fights in Kirby have never been my favorite parts. Like, everything else is, I guess. So, yeah, I might fire that up and check it out just because it's, you know, free Kirby game, but I...
I promise I'll be quick on this. The only Kirby game I have played, I forgot I played this, was the Kirby Tilt game.
Kirby Tilt and Tumble for the Game Boy?
Tilt and Tumble.
Hell yeah.
Dude,
that game's hard as fuck.
There's not a six-axis or whatever
on the Switch.
So
there's motion sensors in the Joy-Cons.
Oh.
Yeah, which you can, like, we didn't talk about it, but in Overwatch, you can do, like, the motion controls for aiming.
What?
You know how, like, Breath of the Wild, you, like, aim your arrows and you, like, pick up your Switch and move it around?
Yeah, yeah. Even Odyssey, when you go, Super Mario Odyssey, when you're in first person, you can, like, aim your view around.
Yeah, like, that's how you can aim with, like, motion controls and stuff and like that. People really liked it for Splatoon. I think Fortnite, a lot of people used it as well.
Wow.
Yeah, neat thing.
I promise I'm not trying to derail us
again.
I've seen stuff for, like, the VR Nintendo, like, you know how
the Labo
works,
thing, yeah.
Where it's basically Google Cardboard. You just put the screen right in front of your fucking face, and they call it virtual reality.
I mean, I guess something like that technically is.
Not that I want to attach something like that to my face. The Switch is just a little too heavy for me, but do you think that would ever be practical?
No.
Yeah,
I don't.
I don't know if they're going to keep trying that stuff, because the idea of that seems cool, and I really am going off the deep end here.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't mind seeing a tilt and whirl game or whatever.
Tilt and tumble. Yeah.
Tilt and tumble.
I would love to see that.
If they can make that stuff not be too gimmicky, like the Labo stuff is, yeah, I think that'd be nice. But
yeah,
I think that would go really well with the handheld.
I think that'd be neat.
I think,
like,
the game was Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, and if you kind of look at, even though they were, in my opinion, like, the worst part of the game, but, like, in Breath of the Wild, those shrines that are, like, the mazes where you, like, tilt it around and, like, move the ball through this, like, maze and, like, you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I can imagine.
Oh, okay. So, like, you know those, like, wooden, like, actual like puzzle mazes you could grab onto where you like tilt mm-hmm. something and like a metal ball metal rolls ball. Around. Yeah, it's that essentially. But okay. you like moved your controller around and stuff like that.
That's cool.
Yeah,
it's like I'd a probably fun work like that, analog digital
hopefully
thing.
Way more fun because I just ended up fucking cheesing all those. Anyway, moving on. Luigi's Mansion 3, they showed us a little bit more gameplay and a Scream Park mode, which is kind of like a 2-8 player, like arena style, like kind of a minigame thing. It looked like essentially just like a fleshed out Mario Party minigame, which seems cool. Also, 8 players is a fucking lot. But yeah, I that game looks really good. And like, this feels weird and kind of out of left field, like they didn't need to do it, because I feel like I was already just kind of sold on that game anyway. But sure, you know, people will like it. All right, moving on from that, we have a game that is near and dear to my heart, Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Hmm.
Got a little bit of more information about that, which we knew going in. They added a Pokemon Camp feature, which you don't play Pokemon, right? Yeah,
correct.
So the more recent games have this like feature where you can like feed your Pokemon berries and like pet them and dress them up, and it like makes them happy, like increases your bond with them, like it helps like their performance in battle and stuff like that. It's kind of just this neat like little fan servicey thing, but for the most part it's relatively just completely optional. I think that's going to be the case here, but it's Pokemon Camp, where you just like have all of your Pokemon and you're just like camping out in the wilderness together. And they showed where you could like throw a cool ball and like your Pokemon would go catch it and they'll play together, and it was really good. It was really good, Thomas.
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, it was really good. Oh, man. And real talk, they showed a Litwick in there, which means my boy Chandelure is going to be in this fucking video game. Let's fucking go. It's my favorite Pokemon. I love it.
Is that really your favorite Pokemon?
Yeah, totally. I love Chandelure. So cool. Anyway, they added some more like character customization stuff, which has been in some of the recent ones, but like this one seems really robust down to like hairstyles and like makeup. And
did they cover this in the Direct?
They did.
Oh. I guess I had my eyes closed for half of it or something.
I mean, if you don't care about Pokemon, like, I totally understand.
I mean, yeah.
But, like, you can, like, they have a lot more flexibility in terms of, like, what you can, like, put on your trainer, which is cool.
Yeah, that is cool, because it's pretty much always been male or female, and that's right. Mostly it, right?
Right, and then it wasn't until recently that you could, like, kind of change your appearance, but this one they seem to be really leaning into that a whole lot more. You could do cool. a little bit of that in Pokemon Let's Go, but not to the extent that I would have liked, and this seems to be the extent of what I would like.
Cool.
They also had this thing where at your Pokemon camp you can do this like cool fun gimmicky mini game, because they always have one and they're like super charming, where you can make curry and eat it with your Pokemon and aww. Then log up to 100 of them into your curry decks.
What?
Yeah, I'm really into it.
What? Yes. Are you serious?
Yes.
So you're collecting.
It's basically like a record of like it's like any other RPG where it's like you have your cooking recipes.
Yeah,
it's just like they're calling it the curry decks because of fucking course they are. And it's just a way of like keeping track of like I made this one and it's like this recipe to do it.
Do they do anything different?
I think they probably will.
Yeah. Oh, I'm, but yeah. I guess yeah. that was kind of.
But yeah, I have no idea. I don't. They didn't go into that. And then
that is funny. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
They also showed off a couple new Pokemon. One of them is like this sentient tea inside of a kettle, and he's a ghost, and his name is Poltegeist, which is fucking incredible. And I forget top the name tier. Of the other one. He's like this dumb fucking bird.
Yeah, is this bird that has like a fish?
Yeah, like if he uses surf or like dive, then he like gets a fish in his mouth, and if somebody attacks him while the fish is in his mouth, he just fucking shoots it outright at him. It's so good. It's so good, Thomas. Pokemon is a good video game.
Okay, so I definitely did see that. And that cracks me up, because it's like what I had mentioned before about the Banjo-Kazooie bit, where yeah. it's like, hey, here's this thing, and check out these strategies and, right. and all the moveset right. stuff. And I watched it, I'm like, what is happening right now? They're straight up like giving me pro strats on how to use this bird of like, check out, like, I didn't expect them to show me a new Pokemon
that, yeah.
and new moves. Because and to me, like, it's like, of, here's a whole new generation of Pokemon. Right. So for them to be like,
and they've been kind of
two.
Like piecemeal, like drip feeding them out a little bit, which I'm kind of here for. Like, it's keeping things interesting. And the way that a lot of
people
get...
I mean, I'm hearing
get,
about more Pokemon.
Right. And
as
I think
result.
That's because they're not just like throwing a fuck ton out at once. I think this is yeah. a smart move. I'm really, really damn excited for this game. They showed off Animal Crossing a little bit, which I did not expect them to.
Oh, yeah? That's like almost, well, besides Banjo-Kazooie, that's the only thing I did expect.
I didn't expect Animal Crossing at all. Like, they didn't announce it. Like, going into this Direct, they said, we're showing off Pokemon Sword and Shield and also some Luigi's Mansion and other games. But I didn't expect them to do this, considering that, like, at E3, they were just like, hey, we're taking our time. We're pushing it back to, I think it's, like, March 20th is the release date for it. But they showed off some, like, basically how the, like, start of that game is going to go, short of, like, just showing you the start of the game where you're on this, like, island and you can, like, I guess they played Minecraft and or Stardew Valley because you can, like, get raw materials on an island and use them to, like, craft your tools, which I think is going to be a really cool thing. You can do, like, local people, like, you can have four people playing at once on the same Switch, which I think is a neat change, but also you can have up to eight players online in a certain, I guess, village, island, I don't know what they're calling it. I mean, it looks so good and peaceful and charming, and I just really need that.
Yeah.
I cannot fucking wait for that game.
I really like what I saw. I've only played Stardew. Mm-hmm. I've never played any other games like that, like Harvest Moon or Animal Crossing.
Imagine if Stardew Valley was less stressful in that you didn't have to worry about running out of energy at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, you just kind of do what you want on this island. And it's a very chill, just relaxing experience. I really, really like Animal Crossing a lot. I'm very, very excited.
And the game looks gorgeous. Yeah.
Like, I was watching, they showed off some, like, wind weather effects, and, like, the leaves individually blowing on the trees was really nice. It was really good.
Man, put weather effects in a video game.
Yeah.
You got me.
We're definitely running long, so I'm going to just kind of really breeze through these. I know it's all my fault.
Just come focus here.
Trials of Mana, the remake of Seiken Densetsu 3, will be available on April 24th, 2020. That's another JRPG that you probably know nothing about.
No. Nope.
I barely do, but that's like a game that never came to the West, and they're like really rebuilding it from the ground up to look very nice, like very 3D action. It looks really good. Return of the Obra Dinn is coming to Switch this fall. Yes.
Dude, I
have been waiting to play that for the kind of inevitable Switch release.
I hadn't even thought about a Switch release. That was a game that I was probably going to forget about for like two more years, mm-hmm. and then discover it and be like, oh shit. And then preach to the world whenever it rolled up
as like the next thing on the Switch thing. I'm like, Oh, yeah. I completely forgot that I really wanted to play it, but I'm like, yeah, all right. Cool.
I'm very interested.
Switch is perfect for it. Like, it's coming to other platforms too, which is cool. But obviously, like, if you are that kind of an indie developer, the Switch is the place to be, and you really want to be showcased on a fucking Nintendo Direct. So I think that's great.
Yeah, man.
Very excited for that.
Yeah, that's
I have been told the best way. I barely know anything about it other than like the premise, but I've been told that I should not know more than the premise, and maybe that's too much. Like, just play it, just go in blind. I'm really excited to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue Company is a new team-based shooter from Hi-Rez Studios who did Smite, coming to Switch in 2020. I kind of zoned out for this part. It looks like just a team-based shooter. So, yeah. Sure. Tetris 99 is getting a new mode called Invictus. Shout out to the best Battle Royale release this year. it is only available for, like, people who have won a match, which mm-hmm. I have. So I'm like, I might go check it out, but I also will just get their shit kicked out of me because I haven't played since I won a match.
Yeah.
That's there's also going to be, like, a two-player versus CPU mode that's paid DLC, all available, like, tomorrow as of the direct, so it's out now. And then they have a package version of Tetris 99, which comes with an individual Switch online membership that is, I think, out now as well. Like, just a physical copy of Tetris 99.
Oh.
Which is cool. And then Daemon X Machina demo launches today as of last week, but that game comes out Friday. I know our friends Jimmy and Devi are really, really excited about it. I want to check out that demo. People seem to like that demo, but there's a lot of other games out right now that I need to get through first. Whew. That was a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
It was packed. 40 minutes is a long Direct.
Yeah.
Because they're usually like 20, 30 minutes, and they like airtight pack those things. So I think that was great. I really, really like that Direct, but like you were saying earlier, it was very niche, so like it didn't speak to everybody.
Very niche.
There were a lot of people who were like, it was okay, and there were a lot of people just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, I would say the Obra Dinn announcement was at least in my... Well, maybe the thing I was most excited about, actually. And then when I saw people talking about it, I didn't see a single person mention it, and I'm like, oh man, this really... passed a lot of people by.
Sure. I think my favorite announcement might actually just be the fact that they're putting out more DLC characters for Smash. I really, really like just the Smash hype cycle. I think it is just one of the coolest things about video games. I don't like when it teetles over to being really toxic, because that's a very thin line, but it's like right up to that line. It's just a really cool, exciting thing.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on from that, time to shout out our hero of the week.
Oh, hey.
Which we forgot to do last episode.
Give me 15 seconds.
Okay.
One thing I forgot.
Okay.
Celeste has free DLC. Right.
Which is out today of this recording.
Yeah, it is out right now.
It is the Farewell Chapter, Chapter 9.
Have not checked out. I hear it's
apparently very fucking hard.
Yeah, very fucking hard.
But new music composed for it and everything, which I think is the most exciting thing for me.
Yeah.
But go check that out. If you
I'm
check that out, you
that.
Should talk about that next week.
Yeah, I absolutely will.
Great. Cool. Now it's time to shout out our hero of the week. This is a segment where we signal boost somebody that's doing something positive and awesome in the gaming space. This week's hero of the week, I wanted to shout out the Twitter account at CanYouPetTheDog. I feel like this has become a little bit more known in kind of that gaming bubble, as I described earlier. It is literally just a Twitter account that just says whether or not you can pet a dog in a video game. And it has blown up in a way that I don't think that person expected. It's always just like got these like cool GIFs or like little video clips of that happening. It has affected like actual games in development, like a game near and dear to my heart, Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, do you like that game?
I do. There's a character, one of the main four that you start with, has a corgi companion, and you couldn't pet it. And so they, like, that Twitter account was just like, you cannot pet the dog and Enter the Gungeon. And one of the developers replied to the tweet and said, all right, hang on. And they, like, patched it in because of that for, like, this big farewell update
like
that you
that.
Did. And it's a really good animation, but it's...
Wait, like, the dog petting is the... Really
it's
good
a
animation?
Really good animation.
Oh, that's great.
It's really good. I'll have to show it to you sometime. But no, if it's just like a super wholesome break from a lot of unfortunate negativity in the gaming space. That person is doing really cool work.
Wait, besides the Doggo Twitter handle?
Well, like just that. And it's turned into this like almost marketing, like this cool marketing thing for games to get noticed. But like, hey, check out our game. You can pet the dog in our game. And it's like really kind of caused this like
oh, that's
big.
Fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's really, really cool. I really highly encourage you to check it out. Every Friday, he kind of, he or she or they, I don't actually know, they relax the kind of rules a little bit to where it's not just about dogs. It's about, okay, well, for, quote, casual Friday, we're going to have it to where it might just be this, like, fun, interactable, like, thing you can do with this, like, kind of companion creature or something like that. So maybe it's like... for instance, in Super Mario Odyssey, if you throw your hat and there's that like little Shiba running around, he'll go and pick up and bring the hat back to you. Like stuff
oh,
like that.
Oh, I
that's,
didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really cool. You should do that. It not necessarily about petting the dog, but it's very similar. And it doesn't have to be about dogs on that Friday. So you guys should go follow that. It's a really nice break from how shitty the world is right now.
Indeed.
It's really good.
That's cool. I like that.
All right. So that's going to do it for the show this week. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. If you like what we've heard so far, consider kicking us a buck or 12 at patreon.com/heroespodcast. That'll help the show and our network grow to even do even cooler stuff. Excuse me. If you can't contribute financially, that's okay. Share the show with a friend or rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. Those rate reviews and sharing goes a long way. So if you guys have the time or ability to do that, we would definitely appreciate it. If you have any questions or ideas for topics for shows, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions could make the show. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamdyMan, and Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1. If you're in the Kansas City area or even just passing through, be sure to check out at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter or GGKC on Facebook. Wow. We've got links to different gaming events and communities in the area that would love to have you be a part of them. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day and a better tomorrow.